Good morning, and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. Our pastor this morning, Pastor Mark Neville, will be speaking on the sermon topic, Chief of Sinners, Though Depart From Me, Jesus, or It's Good to See You, Jesus, based on Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. Welcome to Christian Worship at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. I'm Pastor Mark Neville, instructor of theology at St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia. It's good to be with you today. We begin our worship on this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany with our hymn of invocation. That is hymn 571, God Loved the World So That He Gave. Hymn 571, we will stand for the last stanza. This morning we join in Divine Service Setting 2. It begins on page 167 of Lutheran Service Book, or we follow along in our worship folders. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue as we speak responsively the introit. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before
I bow down toward your holy temple. For you have exalted above all things. On the day I called, you answered me. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord.
For great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly.
But the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble,
you
stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies.
And your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the feast of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. House and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray the collect of the day. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is recorded in the sixth chapter of the prophet Isaiah. This is God's call of Isaiah to be his prophet. And as I tell my students, each of the calls of the four major prophets have something to do with their mouth. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. And with two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is recorded in the 14th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in the New Testament. "Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature." This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the singing of the Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fifth chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John and sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. We join together in the common confession of our Christian faith. We use the words of the Nicene Creed as printed in our worship folder. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We welcome the children forward for the children's message. As they do come forward, we sing hymn 605, Father Welcomes, hymn 605, stanza 1. Thank you for coming up front this morning. I have in my hands a tackle box. Now, this tackle box has nothing to do with the football game that's going to be played later today. Okay, it is not that kind of tackle. This tackle box is for fishing. I've had this tackle box since I was a kid. I kind of wonder why I moved this with us from Illinois to Missouri, because I haven't opened this tackle box since I was a kid. You might notice it's a little dirty. Maybe I can have one of my students clean this for me. I haven't opened this since I was a kid because I think that I may have gone fishing once in the last 45 years. And I believe there is some catfish bait in here that's been in there for those 45 years. And I'm kind of afraid if I open it, I might not survive the smell. I did once go fishing. I had a man in my second congregation who had the most marvelous fishing spot. And he said, if we go fishing there, we are going to catch fish. He didn't know me that well, I guess. Because the only fish we caught, I think, was about that long. And he still has it in his freezer and mocks me with it whenever I talk to him. Right? Now, why all this talk about fishing? Well, we just heard a story about fishing in our gospel reading. It is a story of a time when Jesus was preaching, teaching people, and he used a man's fishing boat as his old podium or platform so that he could teach the people and they could hear him. And then he instructed the man, a veteran fisherman named Simon Peter, to go out into the lake and put his nets down. Now, Jesus was not a fisherman, right? You might remember that his upbringing, his training, would have been in the carpentry shop of his earthly father, Joseph. Joseph, we are told by early church tradition, specialized in farm equipment. He would have been the local farm implement dealer in Nazareth. I won't say any names because I don't want to get a fight started. And it is said that Joseph's farm equipment was made so well that it was still being used a century later in the Nazareth area. Well, that should be no surprise if Jesus was his apprentice, if Jesus, the sinless Son of God, was helping him build farm equipment, it would have been good stuff. But that's a carpenter. And now Jesus is giving fishing advice to a veteran fisherman. It'd be like me trying to give fishing advice to somebody here who's fished all his life. But Peter listens. And Peter goes out, maybe against his better judgment, and catches a tremendous haul of fish and realizes there is something special about this Jesus, something beyond human understanding. And he realizes, as Isaiah did in our Old Testament reading, that when you're in the presence of God, you realize that you haven't lived up to God's standards, that you are a sinner. And Peter confesses that sin. And Jesus is fine with that because that's what Jesus has come to do. The one thing that he has come to take from us is the only thing he hasn't given to us, and that's our sin. And he not only is forgiving Peter of his sin, he's calling him to follow him and to share that good news with other people. And that's what he's done with each and every one of us. Right? He has called us to follow him and to be fishers of other people. And you know when and where that took place? For some of you, it was right behind me. But what is that that's right behind me? The baptismal font. And there the name of our triune God was placed upon us, and we were made fishers of other people to share the good news of our Savior Jesus with them. Can you fold your hands and join me in prayer? Dear Jesus, we do thank you that you call us to be your very own children, to be fishers of others as we share with them that good news of life and salvation you have won for us by your own life, death, and resurrection. In your name do we pray. Amen. We'll continue with the singing of our hymn of the day. It is hymn 611, Chief of Sinners Though I Be, hymn 611. Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon meditation is our gospel reading from Luke chapter 5. Does it help you to feel warmer today to hear the fishing story from our gospel reading on such a drab, cold, wintry day? Can you just in your mind picture the scene of our text? The sun is glistening off of the water of the Sea of Galilee as it ripples toward the shoreline. Can you hear the waves gently lapping against the rocks at the water's edge? And the sound of the seagulls as they are soaring overhead? Not really? Perhaps the serene setting of this passage is hard for us to imagine on this cold February day in Missouri. But what took place then also takes place now. Jesus comes to us and he calls us to be his disciple-making fishers of men. In our text, Jesus, physically present, proves his power by Peter's profound procurement of previously impossible fish to find. Now, Jesus is powerfully present for us as his inspired words of the Bible and with his body and blood in the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. As Jesus was with Peter then, so also is he with us now. Jesus does not depart or go away from sinful people. Instead, he finds us. He calls us to follow him, and he equips us with his word and his sacraments so that we now can catch others for his eternal kingdom. Well, we should not be skeptical about Simon Peter and should not blame Simon Peter for him being skeptical about Jesus' instructions to him. As I mentioned to the children, after all, Jesus is a carpenter by training and by trade. Now he seems to fancy himself as some sort of traveling preacher. But one thing Jesus isn't, he is not a fisherman. Now, it's okay enough for Jesus to use Simon's boat as a pulpit, with the shoreline as the place where his congregation gathers to hear him preach and teach. Simon and his company are finished with their night of fruitless fishing, so they are done with their boat for the day. They are cleaning up and putting away their nets. But now Jesus tells Simon to go back out onto the water. In other words, he is to put in some overtime. He is to pull a second shift, so to speak. Simon is a veteran fisherman. He knows Galilee's waters like he knows the back of his hands. At night is when you are to fish, not during the day. What's more, the deep water is not the place where one catches fish. It seems that Jesus is trying to tell Simon how to do his job. And none of us cares for that, do we? Whatever it is that we do not take kindly when an amateur tries to tell us how to do the work that we have done for years. For example, there will be plenty of armchair quarterbacks watching today's Super Bowl, thinking that they know what play their team should call, or should have called, or thinking that they will know the penalty that the officials should have whistled, or not whistled. Despite his skepticism and probably thinking that Jesus could not possibly know what it is he's talking about, Simon Peter takes a chance. He does what Jesus tells him to do. He pushes his boat off from the shore and lets his nets down into the deep water. Well, Jesus' instructions result in not just one boatload full of fish, but two boats so stuffed with fish that they begin to sink. Now, at this point, Simon could have busied himself counting the number of fish or figuring out how much money these fish would make for him at the market. But instead, Simon Peter's doubts about Jesus quickly turn into thoughts of despair and guilt about himself. Realizing that he is in the powerful presence of his Lord and God, Simon Peter feels the burden and the seriousness of his sins. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And Peter's reaction is very similar to Isaiah's experience in our Old Testament reading. When God calls him to be his prophet, Isaiah reacts by recognizing his sin. "Woe to me! I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips." We know what Isaiah and what Peter did in the powerful presence of God. How would we today respond if Jesus appeared to us in a similar way? Would we share their reaction? Would we be overwhelmed by God's presence? Would we do it for the same reasons? Would we want Jesus to depart from us because we know that the words that we speak are not fit for his hearing? Would we want Jesus to depart from us because we know that the works that we do are not deserving of his seeing? Would we be mad that Jesus showed up because we now have to change those parts of our lives with which we are very comfortable? Would we be disappointed that Jesus is with us because we no longer can do those very things that we are certainly happy doing? Would we want Jesus to leave us so that we could get back to the business of our own selfish and sinful ways? On the other hand, maybe our reaction to Jesus' presence would be just the opposite of Peter's in our passage. We might welcome Jesus' appearance and be very happy to have Jesus with us, but for all the wrong reasons. We might be happy to see Jesus because we think that he is going to bring with him a windfall of material blessings for us. We might indeed welcome Jesus' appearance as an opportunity for us to show off how much good we think that we do. Obviously, to have the all-powerful God by our side sure will come in handy when we run into that no good, dirty, rotten so-and-so who did us wrong at work, at school, or in our neighborhood. But Peter's reaction to Jesus in our text is not really the main point of the episode. It only serves to highlight the goodness of Jesus to us. While Peter does obey Jesus' instructions, and he does go back to his fishing, notice that Jesus does not obey Peter's command. Jesus does not leave. He does not depart. Quite the opposite. Jesus says to Peter, "Do not be afraid." Jesus is powerful, and his miraculous presence in our lives is a good thing for us. Jesus does not come to run away from us sinners, but instead to call us sinners to follow him. Jesus does not come to reject us sinners, but instead to recruit us sinners to be his disciples. Jesus does not come to condemn us sinners, but to call us sinners to catch other sinners to be his followers. Instead of throwing Peter overboard because he is a sinner, Jesus brings Peter on board the ship of his eternal salvation. Now, as a disciple of Jesus, Peter will have the privilege of calling others to be Jesus' disciples as well. The impossibility of catching fish, both when and where Jesus says to, is overcome by Jesus' miracle and by boats which are now full of fish. The impossibility of sinners such as Simon Peter and each one of us being followers of Jesus to lead others to him in faith also is overcome by Jesus' promise to us. You will be catching men, and a heaven that is now full of faithful followers. The greatness of this catch of fish is nothing compared to that catch of people for the kingdom of Jesus that his disciples experienced following Jesus' sacrificial death, his victorious resurrection, and his glorious ascension into heaven. These Galilean fishermen of our text, well, they knew how to use their nets to take living fish out of the water and bring them to their death. Now Jesus will equip these same men with his powerful word so that they will use it to take spiritually dead people out of this sinful world, and then give them new and eternal life by the power of the Holy Spirit. As waves of water combined with God's word splashed across our heads in holy baptism, Jesus spoke this very promise to us. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Jesus gives us his word, the Holy Bible. Jesus is powerfully present for us in his Lord's Supper. And through these means of his grace, Jesus makes us his disciples and he equips us to cast the net of God's love and forgiveness into all the world. And as we do so now, the Holy Spirit works through us to catch others who will join us as faithful followers of Jesus in his eternal kingdom. To God alone be all of the glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our prayer of the church, we remember those listed for us in our worship folder who are in need of healing and comfort, both members of Emmanuel, family and friends of Emmanuel, and those who are shut in and nursing home residents. We pray for those who are involved in mission work on our behalf and those who serve in our nation's military. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We stand as we join in the prayer of the church. Father of all joy, you have taught us to believe in your righteous acts and deeds of salvation from our youth. Teach us now to proclaim your might to the next generation so that they too may rejoice in you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, sustain those called to be fishers of men in Christ's church. Grant that they would not be discouraged when they toil all night and take nothing, but continue to let down their nets at his word according to that calling. We place into your care in keeping those who serve us as missionaries, remembering especially Peter and Christy, Jim and Claudia, David and Valerie, Tim and Aaron. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, give us faith to let down the nets of your word in our own daily vocations and to trust your son Jesus to do his gracious work through poor sinners like us. Bless with success in service and safety in person all those who serve in our nation's armed forces, including McKenna and Drake, along with all our law enforcement agents, firefighters, emergency responders, and healthcare professionals. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, build up your church and manifest your spirit among us with wisdom and knowledge. Let our words be measured and intelligible to our fellow Christians and to those outside your church, that we may utter our amens confidently in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, O God, be not far from us. As you have worked deeds of salvation in Christ Jesus, so make haste to help us now in every trouble. Give healing to the sick, strength to the weak, and comfort to the afflicted, especially as we remember by name Carol, Randy, Stanley, Millie, Mary, Cindy, Ruby, Michelle, Mike and Eva's family, Brandy, Avery, Lonnie, Jeff, Diane, Gail, Retta, Holly, Kelly, David, Rhonda, Jessica, Mary Lou, Brooke, Nicole, Debbie, Millie, Dolores, Dorothy, and all those whom we name before you now in the silence of our hearts. Do not forsake us, nor the generations to come in our times of need, but draw us ever closer to you. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, never depart from us. Though we are unworthy of you and your bounty to us, you are pleased to receive our meager thanks and our reluctant obedience for the sake of Christ's perfect obedience. Let your word rule us and your spirit revive us to leave behind pride and anxiety alike, that we may follow you in all that we do. We pray this through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we continue our worship with the gathering of our offerings. We stand as we join together in the singing of the offertory as printed in our worship folder. Remember us in your kingdom and teach us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our hymn to depart. It is hymn 582. God's Word is our great heritage, hymn 582.